the readings from today's Mass. The epistle is taken from that to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. Brethren, be ye followers of God as most dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath delivered himself for us, an oblation and a sacrifice to God for an odor of sweetness. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not so much as be named among you as becometh saints, nor obscenity, nor foolish talking, nor scurrility, which is to no purpose, but rather giving of thanks. For know ye this, and understand that no fornicator, or nor unclean, nor covetous person, which is a serving of idols, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the anger of God upon the children of unbelief. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for you were heretofore darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk ye as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. The Gospel is taken from that of St. Luke, chapter 11, verses 14 to 18. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb spoke, and the multitude were in admiration at it. But some of them said, he casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And others, tempting, asked of him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and house upon house shall fall. And if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that through Beelzebub I cast out devils. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I by the finger of God cast out devils, doubtless the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his coat, those things which he possesseth are in peace. But if a stronger than he come upon him and overcome him, he will take away all his armor wherein he is trusted, and will distribute his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through places without water, seeking rest, and not finding, he said, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and entering in, they dwell there, and the last state of that man becometh worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd, lifting up her voice, said to him, blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the breast that gave thee suck. But he said, yea, rather blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Take note in the bulletin of the Holy Week schedule. There have been a few more things added to Holy Thursday. This Thursday, the 7th of March, is the feast of St. Thomas Aquinas. There will, in fact, be a solemn High Mass at 7 p.m. Therefore, we will not be able to have a holy hour. On Friday, the 8th of March, as usual, we will have our Lenten Stations of the Cross. It will be followed by a veneration of the relic of the True Cross, thanks to Father Barone. Next Sunday, the 10th of March, we will have our Tavola di San Giuseppe, which begins after the 9 a.m. Low Mass. All are welcome, and it will continue again after the 11 a.m. Mass. Next Saturday, as the 16th of March, in the morning after the 9 a.m. Mass, there will be a LifeNet Rosary procession. Details are in the bulletin. Please come join us. We will pray the rosary in front of the abortion or the abortuary on 396 Bloomfield Avenue in Montclair. qui non est mecum contra me est, et qui non colligit mecum dispergit. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, the history of the Old Testament, the history of the people of Israel, is the prefiguration of the history of the church, the New Jerusalem. The people of Israel crossed the desert to reach the promised land, and in our time, we are walking in a desert towards the heavenly house that was promised to us. The scriptures also show that God does not bless those who do not want to continue this journey. In the Lenten Gospel of last Friday, we saw that the winemakers killed the servants first and then the son of the king because they had rebelled and thought that if they killed him, they could seize the vineyard and do what they wanted. At the end of the Gospel, our Lord gave a very clear answer, saying, "The kingdom of God will be taken away from you." Last Thursday in the Gospel, the Lord told us about the parable of the rich man and the poor man, Lazarus. He presents us with an immediate picture of the danger we are in when he says, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they would not even believe if someone was resurrected from the dead." In today's Gospel, Jesus is even more explicit. "He who is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." Dear faithful, the period of Lent is very important for our spiritual life. In the Gospels of this liturgical season, the church confronts us with a kind of mirror which shows us how we really are. Silence and dark colors in the liturgy must help us focus on the state of our soul. Jesus Christ gave his life for us to free us from sin, from eternal death, and from the devil, so that we could participate in his divine life. This is why it is absolutely necessary to look within ourselves to understand how we really are. Our Lord is faithful. He does not want to take away any of his promises, nor will he ever do it. The main question is this: do we really want what he has promised us? Or are we content to live a kind of apathetic life, continually divided between God and the temptations of this world and the devil? What we need is an undivided heart that seeks first the kingdom of God. Today's Gospel shows us the bitter and terrible consequences of the presence of sin and of the devil in our lives. St. Luke presents to us a man possessed by a demon who makes him dumb and shows us, therefore, the destructive force of Satan. Man has the privilege of understanding the world in which he lives. Thanks to the order of creation, we have received the privilege of attributing to all things a name and consequently being able to understand the whole order of reality. Moreover, God revealed his name to us so that we could turn to him and pray to him. In a sense, we could say that the dignity of the human person finds its expression in our ability to communicate with God and with each other. And what then does the devil do? What does sin do? It makes us silent. We lose our communication skills. First of all, we lose the ability to speak to God. If we do not want to hear him, we in fact become incapable of talking to him. Moreover, if we cannot talk to God, we cannot truly communicate with each other. And by this, the devil isolates us, breaking our natural bond with God and then with other human beings, and he throws us over a precipice and into the sadness of solitude. If in these days God still permits the devil to carry on his evil work against individuals and society, Jesus, by his death on the cross, has already paid the price of our victory. This treasure is at our disposal. Through the virtue and grace of Christ, every Christian has the power to overcome the enemy's powerful attacks. The triumph of evil should not disturb us, for it is an apparent victory. The might of Jesus is stronger, and he is the one and only victor. Dear faithful, the time of Lent requires an important choice. We must choose between the promise that God has given us in his Son, the promise to take part in the divine life, and the destructive and paralyzing seductions of the devil. We must work in union with Jesus, that his victory over evil may be our own. In today's Gospel, the Master himself shows us several aspects of his collaboration. Every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation. So in other words, our Lord is saying that union is the secret of victory. Union with him above all, and union with our neighbor. We often have to give up our personal ideas for this precious union. Unity is always to be preferred. Division never leads to victory. Our Lord himself said, "He who is not with me is against me." The work of the devil and our regrettable collaboration with him are very dangerous, because they cause bad consequences in our lives. Sin is not a private matter, as it makes us unable to speak to God and other people, so it damages the order of reality. Because of their first sin, our ancestors have destroyed our innocence and have caused an objective disorder that will last until the end of the world. But even with our sins, even with the most hidden and secret of them, we bring an objective disorder into this world, and for this we ruin the entire moral order of the world. Even the most innocent of creatures become victims of our crime. If we want to realize how horrible is sin and how evil is the devil, let us look at the suffering of the innocent. If we want to understand how evil is the devil and how pernicious is sin, we must not close our eyes before the most frightful events of this world. There is an audio system that has been extended to all of the parts of this church. If your child cannot keep quiet, please consider waiting in the vestibule or even in the social hall. You will hear the sermon clearly there. Please try to keep them quiet so that people are not disturbed when hearing the sermon. If we want to understand how evil is the devil and how pernicious is sin, we must not close our eyes before the most frightful events of this world. If we want to know how inhuman and evil is sin, we must look at the cross. We must imagine our Lord, the most innocent person on the earth, on his way to Calvary, and reflect that we have caused this suffering by our sins. This realistic reflection will help us avoid other occasions of sin and will help us to be ever more grateful to God for the gift of our salvation, and to believe evermore in his goodness and mercy. But take note that the kingdom of Satan is not isolated in itself. Very often we fall into the error of imagining the devil as nothing more than an imaginary personification of evil. But this is a fatal mistake, because the devil exists. Ask any exorcist worth his salt. The devil is not faithful, and in fact he's cruel even to his own followers. God, on the other hand, is faithful, and he remains faithful, even when we are not, because he cannot deny himself. God wants all possible good for us, and especially when we find ourselves in the deepest darkness. Knowing what is good for us, he may allow us to fall into darkness, because this can strengthen our aspiration to see his light. On the contrary, the devil is not faithful. He will even deny himself if it is useful to him. No one who ever serves the devil will gain anything. The devil wants the destruction of the good, and he will continue his work of destruction until even the most faithful of his servants are eliminated. Therefore, dear brothers, we cannot serve both God and the devil. We cannot return to our sins, even in a small way. Our Lord asks us to make a decision. Today he says, "He who is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." There is this fundamental difference between good and evil, between God and Satan. With the devil, we have nothing to gain, but everything to lose. We must therefore be careful not to fall back into our old sins. We must not let the devil gain space in our lives, because our moral condition would become worse than before. If we truly believe in God's promise, if we truly trust in his mercy, and truly our hearts are converted, then the promise of God will become real in our lives. Those who hear the word of God and put it into practice are blessed, says Jesus in today's gospel. Then our life will become a fruitful and clear response to the love of our Redeemer. In this way, we will discard the diabolical temptations and anticipate here on earth the future life of paradise. Therefore, there are two conditions necessary for victory over evil. The first is active cooperation in the work of Christ in union with our brethren. And the second is vigilance. When we are used to our state of sin, we are in a state of false peace. In today's gospel passage, our Lord refers to a strong armed man who keeps his coat. This man possesses things in a state of peace. The fathers of the church are numerous in telling us that this man is the devil. The state of peace is our false sense of security, and the arms of this man are our own sins. If we are blinded to our sins, if we refuse to see the light and confess them, then we will continue in this darkness, this false peace. As St. Paul suggests in today's epistle, if because of no merit on our part, the Lord opens our eyes and breaks the bonds of sin that makes us prisoner to the devil, then in gratitude for it, we should resist all temptations to return to our former life. The enemy of our soul is lying in wait. We must be watchful in prayer and fill our heart with God, leaving no place for the enemy. In the end, if we truly wish to leave behind our former lives, then we have only to turn to God. Yesterday's Lenten passage, which we read at the end of the Mass, was on the prodigal son, who we know well was welcomed back warmly and forgiven completely by his father, even though he had squandered his portion of the inheritance. So it is with our Lord. If we return to him in faith, responding generously to the graces he gives us in freeing us from our sins, all of them are destroyed, and we are left to respond generously and gratefully to the graces of God in working our salvation. Let us turn to Our Lady, who will help us in this, our return to God. Our Lady is blessed because she is the Mother of God. But our Lord himself said that she is more blessed because of her perfect union with him in keeping his word. This blessedness is offered to all of us. One united to God becomes strong in his strength. Remember that despite her misery, she stood at the foot of the cross, looking upon our Lord, giving us an example of what we should do in times of our miseries. Let us turn also to the great Saint Joseph, the master of the interior life and the mirror of patience. He is a model of perfect and prompt obedience, vigilance, strength, and total confidence in God. Mother of Mercy, Mother of God and Help of Christians, pray for us. Saint Joseph, Patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.